All right, this is Dan Young and Ian Mays for the KNYO NOYO Radio Project and Common Ground Relief Media. And we're here on location in New Orleans in Algiers with Just Greg from the Common Ground Health Clinic. And I guess, to start off, Greg, why don't you tell us about the Common Ground Health Clinic and its... Well, I wanted to ask about its mission, its history, and its current projects. That's a big thing. So whichever you want to focus on first.
Sure. That is a bit of a conversation. I'm sure you know that. The history of the clinic is simply that it's emerged out of Katrina, out of the post-Katrina chaos, initially as a first aid center. That was linked with Common Ground Common Ground Collective. Then shortly after, it became a nonprofit primary care, and still is working towards being that primary care model health clinic. There's quite a bit more history I could give on it, but. In the interest of time, I think it'd be best if folks just went to cghc.org and took a look at the history of the clinic there. There's a pretty detailed history on the website. Where we're going, our aim is to continue to work towards being a community-based primary care health clinic that provides free care for anyone. We're not concerned with who folks are, where they're coming from, whether or not they're insured. We just ask, you know, that our patients be respectful when they're in a clinic and things like that. But we don't make too many demands of them. we don't check for documentation, so undocumented patients tend to come into the clinic, and we're not concerned about any of that. The clinic is funded primarily, now it's funded primarily by grants, and we've gotten some grants from the government, although initially we operated really without any government support. It's only been recently that we've gotten a good deal of government support. We're still very underfunded. We still would prefer not to be writing grants, but to be funded by direct donations. And so on. Anything else you want to know?
Yeah, what is the size, scope, amount of volunteers and type of services that you offer?
Okay. Our volunteer base has shrunk drastically since the initial stages of the clinic. We tend to focus primarily on healthcare volunteers. Individuals who are either doctors or registered nurses or nurse practitioners. All of our doctors currently are volunteer doctors, including our medical director, Dr. Ravivad Lamudi, who is a Tulane practitioner who volunteers with Common Ground Health Clinic. We have a paid nurse practitioner position. We currently employ a nurse practitioner who initially was a volunteer. And we try to maintain focus as a nurse practitioner run clinic. So that's her function. We have a small cadre of volunteers doing other work around the clinic and some staff. But once again, not very many volunteers here at the clinic. What we're hoping, though, is that we can get more local folk, more folk from within Algiers, to be a part of the clinic and to volunteer in the day-to-day of the clinic.
And how are you working on getting that?
Well, we have different approaches to that. We're looking at community initiatives, like the one that I head up, the Community Health and Strength Initiative, which is more of a holistic approach to health. We look at, with this initiative, we look at some of the causes of adverse health conditions in Algiers and New Orleans, things like police abuse, which impact people's health, you know, health situations greatly, be it stress or actual physical abuse. We look at the foods that folks are eating, so to approach those things. And, you know, we focus on these things, let me just say, because our primary diagnoses within the clinic are diabetes, hypertension, and stress-related illnesses. And so we look at those things. Cholesterol also is a high diagnosed, you know, disease. And we realized initially when we were starting to make this Community Health and Strength Initiative that those are things that would be impacted better by approaching the community and involving the community in the processes. So bringing healthful foods to Algiers is one thing that we're looking to do through whether it's folks growing in local gardens or bringing you know, farmers markets or food stands into the community, things like that, or just going to the corner stores and saying to them, look, we would like for you to stock these types of foods. Those are things we're looking at through Community Health and Strength. One of the other big portions of the Health and Strength Initiative that we are really looking at and we really want to see move forward is our anti-racism perspective. We work closely with People's Institute for Survival and Beyond to provide undoing racism trainings in Algiers to focus on the fact that historically the communities we're working with as a health clinic have been impacted by racism for years and years. So we want to you know, focus on those things.
Can you give us to the listeners that are not, that have never been to New Orleans or Algiers, a little bit of background on the socio-demographic context in the neighborhood that the clinic's operating in Algiers in general?
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a loaded question. but for me, the answer to that question is just in the conversations I have with my friends here in Algiers and people I meet on a daily basis. Algiers tends to be a very working class community. I mean, folks are working one to two jobs just to stay afloat post storm. So I guess in answering that question, I have to just say that's primarily what we see here. We see a lot of working class people who, because of whatever situation post storm, either haven't gotten their health insurance back online or aren't working the jobs they originally had, you know, but are working other jobs just to survive, so on and so forth. So I guess that's the demographics of our area. There are definitely lots of poor folks around Algiers, but I think by and large you're looking at a community that's working class, working poor, working class folks, you know.
What about ethnically, racially?
Largely African American. I mean, it is a largely African American community. I don't have the statistics on, you know, the demographics, but I mean, primarily African American folks here in Algiers. So.
Yeah, this is Ian Mays. I'm interviewing with Dan. So, yeah, my question is, what kind of general response have you gotten from the community in relation to the health clinic as well as that initiative, the Health and Strength Initiative?
Well, I'll touch on the Health and Strength Initiative first, since that's my area. One of the things that's come out of the Health and Strength Initiative is that we have created, but the community through their efforts have created the Algiers Community Collective, of which we're a part. And the intention with the Algiers Community Collective is sort of to address a lot of the things that we outlined in the Health and Strength Initiative. Details of that are on the website also if anyone's interested in seeing that. But, you know, this collective is largely folks from Algiers who want to take, you know, their direction, take a sort of initiative in the direction of their community, combating some of the problems that are arising here around housing, which I'm sure you know is a big thing in New Orleans in general. Not as big in Algiers as maybe in some other parts like the Ninth Ward and so on. But, you know, the thing we're dealing with here is predatory developers. And Algiers folks are tired of that and want to, you know, have some positive effect on where their housing goes. So that's one of the things we've seen come out of Community Health and Strength. As far as the clinic goes, you know, our patients, you know, I believe by virtue of the fact that they participate in the clinic in itself shows, you know, that shows me that patients appreciate what's happening here with the health clinic. But beyond that, I think a lot of the patients have been involved in other ways, be it by taking the message out there, you know, to others. We have gotten our patient demographics, or rather we've gotten the number of patients we've gotten really solely based on word of mouth. We haven't done a whole lot of advertising. Folks just tell folks about the clinic. They say what they see here, how they feel when they're here, you know, how they've been treated, the fact that the lines here are significantly shorter than most other places, and they get great service from what, you know, the word is out there. So.
Yeah, you mentioned that the community participate, or the patients participate with the health clinic. I was wondering if you can speak more about that.
Sure. Well, we've had some patient volunteers in the clinic. Folks come in. In fact, a good example of that would be our front desk manager, Ed Burks. He was a volunteer initially. He was a patient first. Then he decided he wanted to volunteer. And had been volunteering for quite some time, and the clinic decided that his work was so good that we couldn't lose him. We wouldn't want him to go, so we decided to hire him. So Ed is now staff. We have had a few other patients who have actually volunteered directly with the clinic at the front desk or who are now volunteering on our community outreach working group programs and also in the garden, the Tesh Street Garden and other community gardens. So those are some examples of how patients are participating in the clinic.
Can you tell us more in detail about how you've gotten views, information, feedback from the general Algiers community in order to structure the community health initiative?
I think what you're asking is how. I'm not sure if I understand what you're asking.
Well, you were saying that you're structuring the community health initiative based on what the community wants, and I'm wondering how you've gotten that feedback. Public meetings, just talking to people on the street, a combination, other things.
Okay. You know, I think a lot of what I wrote into the grant, I co-wrote the grant, so a lot of what we wrote into it, myself and the other writer, was based on our community partners, the partnerships we've had with different organizations in Algiers, one of those organizations being the Craig Cultural Center, and one of the other organizations we're working closely with, Black Star Academy, which is a youth math and science academy. So I think we've gotten some input from those folks on what we were looking to include in the grant. A lot of what we wrote into the grant, though, came directly out of the health clinic directly out of the folks we were seeing in the clinic, the things that people were saying to us. And, you know, we asked a few questions of folks inside the clinic too, you know, would you like to see community gardens in, you know, your particular neighborhood? Or do you think that, you know, farmers markets or fruit stands would be a good addition to your community? And a lot of the answers to those questions were yeses. You know, folks are looking for those things, you know. Grocery stores in Algiers are few and far between. In fact, there's no grocery store, I think, within a mile radius of where we are, where our health clinic is, for folks to get to. So a lot of people who don't have cars or, you know, don't have time to get to the grocery store end up going to the corner stores and buying a lot of prepackaged stuff off the shelves there. So folks are definitely looking for some of what we've put forward in the Health and Strength Initiative. So,
yeah, wonderful. Could you tell us a little about your own personal experiences that led to your involvement with the Common Ground Clinic and your interest in doing this kind of work?
Well, I am, you know, I've been an activist for quite a while now. I spent some time in the military, and while I was there, the Seattle uprising happened, and I think that was one of the big radicalizing moments for me. I saw that and really got frustrated with, you know, the militarization of our police and the things that I saw happening there. Sort of led me to, I was already pretty political, so they led me towards more radical politics than anything. I ended up here in New Orleans post-storm. I came in September '05. I was at university in Kent, Ohio, Kent State University, and I started doing fundraising there, and, you know, just decided that fundraising and sending stuff down wasn't as effective for me as just coming here and seeing what I could do here. And so I, you know, packed up some stuff in a truck with some fellow Ohioans, and we drove down. Some folks from Oberlin and myself came down here, and I've been here since. I initially came down because I heard Malik Rahim had started this Common Ground Collective, and they were asking for folks to come down and, you know, serve food and, you know, clean out storm drains. And I decided that's something I could do. I wanted to come down and help clean up those storm drains to help prevent floods in the future. I got here a little bit in advance of Hurricane Rita and started doing the storm drain cleaning and found out about the health clinic and went to volunteer at the clinic. And I've been at the clinic since. So that's how I got here.
Thank you. So the general theme of these interviews is about people trying and how people are trying to rebuild a New Orleans that is more socially just and ecologically sustainable than what exists now or before the hurricane. And what do you see as some of the greatest obstacles to that, to building a more just and sustainable New Orleans from your perspective here?
Wow. Well, you know, I think there are a lot of things involved in that lofty goal. It's a very attainable goal, I believe. However, some of the obstacles that have to be kind of addressed, as you've just stated, are housing. That's one of the biggest obstacles, obviously, in New Orleans. I think just housing, without it, you know, forget about trying to rebuild New Orleans in any way, shape, or form. Another big issue is, of course, the police abuse situation here, the criminal justice, injustice, rather, you know, system that exists. It's not getting better, and it needs to get better. There needs to be a whole lot more focus on that. and of course healthcare. To me, those are the three big things that are preventing New Orleans from recovering. This healthcare system nationally is broken, but it certainly is completely broken here in New Orleans. And, you know, the criminal justice system here is a perfect example of another broken system. So
what are some of the most inspiring things that you do see going on besides the health clinic in New Orleans towards a more just and sustainable New Orleans existing?
Well, I think one of the most inspiring things for me is that I've seen a lot of New Orleanians coming together to impact the direction New Orleans goes for them. I'm grateful to know that I've been accepted in New Orleans by a lot of folks, and that a lot of outside folks are coming here are also accepted. But I think the only way for New Orleans to really recover is for us to, you know, be the ones providing tools, but letting people recover the way they choose to recover. I think a problem I've had and that I've been a part of, I think for myself too, is that I've seen people take in charge of New Orleans recovery who aren't necessarily New Orleanians or don't necessarily live in the places they're impacted. So I've had to step back quite a bit myself and you know, sort of be there in the background helping folks move in the direction they want to move in. It's been tough for me as a radical, you know, as an anarchist, being in a situation where I see things that I think don't mesh with my beliefs. You know, it's been tough for me to step back and say, okay, you know, that's something I'd like to see changed in the future, but I have to be willing to let people move in the direction they choose to move in. And if they don't take my input, then I'm not necessarily in the right, my input's not necessarily, you know, for them. If that makes any sense, you know, I'm not sure if that makes any sense. What I'm basically trying to say is that folks have the right to rebuild in the image that they want to rebuild. And far be it from me as an anarchist to try to tell folks I think they're doing something wrong and they should do something this way. Just like for these developers who are coming here and trying to build New Orleans in some sort of Disneyland fashion, you know, they have no right to tell New Orleanians that they can't rebuild the way they choose to. So,
yeah, so in regards to that topic about input and decision-making, I was wondering, how is the Common Ground Health Clinic organized or structured?
Well, the clinic's structured as a nonprofit with a board of directors. It has a board of directors structure. It has an executive director. And things filter up that way. You know, we initially started working with sort of a collective structure, working with, you know, consensus-type decision-making processes, which honestly were extremely unwieldy, didn't yield a lot of progress for the clinic as far as a health clinic goes. And that's not to say that consensus doesn't work in other models. It's just that the health clinic needed to be structured in such a way that would allow it to survive for the folks that we're serving, for the people of New Orleans. And consensus wasn't the model that was working. So when we made the decision to become a nonprofit and to get a 501c3, we, of course, had to get a board of directors. One thing we've done, though, with the board of directors is that we've opened it up for community folks to participate on that board. We currently have a couple of community members on our board of directors. I also am on the board of directors as a long-term member of the health clinic. So that essentially is the structure of the clinic.
I guess I wanted to ask, you said you consider yourself a radical and an anarchist, how has your experience since you came to New Orleans, how has that affected your, I guess, understanding of how the world is and how you would like it to be as an anarchist? Like, have you seen things that were amazing, inspiring, or disappointing, or that just made you change your views philosophically and practically about anarchist social change or social change in general?
Well, you know, I've seen some really very illuminating things in New Orleans, for me socially, for me, from my philosophical perspective. You know, I have to say, I came here with a lot of idealistic perspectives, a lot of textbook anarchism, a lot of things that I had studied and read, and a lot of experience also as an anarchist acting in communities. And I think New Orleans has taught me a lot about humility also as an anarchist and as an activist. People have their experiences and their histories and things that they want and desire. And I feel, while I'd like to see an anarchist society, I feel it's important for folks to first work through their perspectives and look at things from that perspective till they exhaust that perspective. You know, I guess one good example of that is that I've worked with organizations that have tried to reform the criminal justice system and have been going in and out of the process of, like, trying to make things happen through reform, reforming that system. And after every failure, after every success or failure, you know, things that have been accomplished have been so limited that I felt, you know, many individuals came and were, you know, suggesting that they were very frustrated with where they were going, you know. And of course, the whole time while I was working in that process, I would say to myself, well, I'll work within this process with folks because I know folks need to have this experience. They need to go through this thing and see it to its end and realize that that end isn't necessarily what is best or what works for them. And, you know, with that said, you know, I feel like a lot of people I've seen in the very beginning of this process have become so much more radicalized by having gone through those situations and not getting what they hope to get out of them. I think that's their process. For them, that's their process. And I went through the same process when I was coming into anarchism too, you know. I started out looking at things from a socialist perspective and realizing that that wouldn't work for me either. And eventually I got to the anarchist thought process. And, you know, that's how I feel a lot of folks here in New Orleans may come around to thinking the way that I think. As I continue to do the work I'm doing here, people continue to come to me and ask, you know, about my perspective on things. You know, I think that's radicalizing.
Yeah, awesome. I guess I just have one more question left, and that was, did you have anything else?
A question. I noticed that the Common Ground Health Clinic provides a variety of services. It seems like I know something about casework, and, you know, there's a publication, community gardens I've seen mentioned as well as a health clinic per se. So I'm wondering, I guess for one, if you can, like, list off, like, all the different projects that are going on, and then also maybe some of the reasoning or philosophy or outlook or whatever that the group as a whole has for having all these different projects going on while at the same time being called a health clinic.
Well, you know, I think what's really important is that people realize where we're coming from as a health clinic is a preventative model. So we feel anything that can be used to in prevention of disease is a healthcare process. We don't necessarily look at medicine for treating disease as the end-all-be-all of healthcare. Our doctors certainly provide that level of healthcare, but we think, you know, within our process that we have to have other components to complement, you know, the medical health, allopathic perspective of healthcare. And, you know, we offer herbalism because we believe that herbalism is a component to healthcare that's absolutely necessary. We offer social work because obviously, you know, our licensed social workers are here for the mental aspect of people's healing. And, you know, you can deal with a person's physical health, but if you're not dealing with their mental health, their whole health, then, you know, you're not really healing a person or making a person well. We also look at, we have acupuncture here. We want to make sure that all our patients are able to receive the widest range of options of care, things that they couldn't always get other places. We want to ensure that we have that available for them. Our community outreach and community initiatives, to me, it seems like an obvious component of our healthcare clinic, but to explain it a little, I really believe that any entity that's providing any sort of healthcare to a community, especially a community like Algiers, should of course have the input of that community, should know where the community stands on that healthcare, should know, you know, what the community wants out of us, and also should give the community the opportunity to participate in their own healthcare. That's huge and that's important for us. So we push that, and we believe that any organization that's not providing that for their patients and for their community folks really isn't providing the best level of healthcare that they can be, preventative healthcare as well as, you know, treatment. So
actually, that leads me to another question. What, what is the current, aside from Common Ground Health Clinic, what is the current situation of, generally in Algiers and New Orleans as a whole, of access to Western and allopathic medicine for people in general and especially working class people?
It's pretty sad. I mean, there are very few real options for folks that don't involve lots of money or that don't involve long, long waits. You know, I think four of the seven primary care have not reopened. Let me say that again. Four of the seven have reopened, so, you know, that's dropped the capacity down quite a bit. As far as clinics go, you know, we have some partnerships with other clinics, but once again, I mean, limited options, specialties and so on and so forth are available for our patients. So it's, I don't have all of the details on that and I would hesitate to try to give them to you, but, you can certainly go look up for New Orleans what's going on with healthcare and you'll see a ton of information on the lack of services for patients here. So,
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. The last thing I wanted to have you speak on was just about how people either in New Orleans or elsewhere can get how people can get involved and what they can do to help the Common Ground Health Clinic.
If folks are interested in finding out more information about how they can participate in the clinic, I would recommend that folks go to Common Ground Health Clinic, Common Ground Health Clinic's website, which is cghc.org. There are several links on the top of the webpage as to how folks can participate and be involved. To participate in some of the more community-based parts of the clinic or our partnerships. You could contact me directly, or you could go to the website and look at those links again to find more info on that. I can be reached at 504-913-2892 for questions concerning less healthcare-related things and more community-based perspectives. You could also send me an email at imjustgreg@gmail.com. That's imjustgreg@gmail.com.
Alright, I guess, people can donate through the website?
Yeah, you can definitely donate directly through the website. There are a couple of links on there. I think a PayPal link or something like that up on the website. But all of those links are on the right hand side of the website and are easily accessible. Or you can give us a call at the clinic or at that number I gave before, and I can give you details and whatever else you would need to do to send donations to the clinic.
And are you still soliciting for volunteers, especially in particular medical training, to come from elsewhere, or at this point mostly looking for local people?
Well, we certainly won't turn down medical doctors, and I don't know the details on how that works. Once again, you'd have to contact some folks who are dealing directly with the medical care to get more info on that. But there are limits on the amount of time that folks can come to the clinic. We have a minimum amount of time that we prefer out-of-town folks to come and give their services. It just helps us out that much more, providing services.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ian. And thank you to the listeners. Stan Young signing off.